Everybody, and our parasha is Parashat Matot, and
it's after Pinchas.
Yes, after exactly after Pinchas and before Masei. And this is also a very interesting parasha, like all the parashiot. And one of the most important things that we talk about is in this parasha is the power of speech and the way to use it. What do I mean? What makes a difference between a man and an animal is the power of speech. And we talked about it a lot. And what makes a difference between a Jew and a goy is the highest level of speech. In other words, the level of speech that we got from God is in a much higher level than the normal power of speech. What do I mean? Yitzchak, when Yaakov comes to him, instead of Esav, he says, Akol kol Yaakov, ve'adayim yedei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, and the hands are of Esav. And this is to teach us that our power is in our voice, the way we talk. Bilam HaRasha wanted to curse Am Yisrael. In other words, he used the power of speech, which is really the tool of Am Yisrael. And what do I mean? If I have a legal problem, and I have two options. I can ask for help from a lawyer, and I can ask for help from a tailor. Both of them know to speak. Both of them can listen to me. And both of them can give me advice. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Who am I going to?
The lawyer.
Why?
He knows more.
That's his profession.
Also how to speak in court.
Exactly. Now, if I have a problem with my shirt, a button fell down, and I need to sew it. Now, it's not a very difficult job. But still, would I ask the lawyer to sew the button, or would I ask the tailor?
Ask the tailor. Because the lawyer charges too much.
To sew a button.
Better to put your wife.
Better ask the wife. But we are the thing is that certain powers that we have are being used in different levels. Because you see, the difference between the lawyer and the tailor, they are both human beings. They've got, both of them have the power of speech. Both of them have hands that can do things. But the tool, the professional tool of the tailor is the...
His hands.
And the professional tool of the lawyer...
His mouth.
And the knowledge he knows about the law. And that's exactly the difference between Am Yisrael and all the others. They can speak and we can speak. But our professional tool is the power of speech. That's why we have to act accordingly. We have to be very careful the way we use the power of speech.
But you say the difference between Jews and Goy?
Yes.
Come in.
We have more, the powerful.
Yes. When you pray to God, and a Goy prays to God, who's got more power?
I don't know. Maybe...
The goy cannot learn Torah. We can learn Torah. Who's got more power?
We're allowed to learn Torah. The goy isn't allowed.
Why? Everybody's allowed to learn Torah. He's allowed to learn Torah. It's not our problem.
Another thing, or ask you.
Yes.
There is difference between Jews and Jews.
Of course. There is difference between each one of us.
Yeah. who learns the Torah, I agree, but there are Jews that doesn't learn the Torah.
Here we come to a very interesting point. You see, what you're saying now is a very crucial point. Because you see, God gave you a tool and you abuse it. As you said, not everybody is using the power he's got for the good benefit, for the good. Some use it to curse, to talk dirty, to insult people, to hurt people. This is what Bilam Darasha did. Now it's very interesting. When we are looking in our parsha, Bilam is being killed. And he is together with the five kings of Midian. And the interesting thing is that when we read the pasuk, if we look in Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk 8. Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk 8. Pasuk Chet. Ve'et Malkei Midian Haragu. You've got it?
Pasuk
8. ואת מלכי מדיין הרגו על חלליהם את אבי ואת רקם ואת צור ואת חור ואת רבע חמשת מלכי מדיין ואת בלעם בן באור הרגו בחרב. Now look very interesting. They're telling us about those five kings that are being killed in the war. Okay? And they add at the end Bilam. And what is the difference here? Can you tell me the difference between the way the Torah is telling us about killing the five kings and the way the Torah is separating Bilam and telling us the way he was killed? Do you see a difference?
The way that they killed them,
yes.
They killed him.
Yes. No different?
What is their slain ones? Slain
ones?
The slaughter them. Oh, okay.
And the other is...
I mentioned Bilam is the son of Beor.
No, the way they were killed. What did you say? You said something.
The second, Bilam was killed with the sword.
And how were the others killed?
The other was... I don't understand.
No, what's written? It's written, the pshat, the pshat. You don't have to like... Does the Torah tell us how those five kings were killed?
Along with their slain ones.
How were they killed? With what tool were they killed?
Swords.
Is it written?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
But Bilam, very clearly is written that he was killed
with a sword.
Now, what is the Torah trying to tell us? The sword is the tool
that cut the head.
Who is using the sword? Esav. Al charbecha tichya, you will live on your sword.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He lived by his...
In other words, the professional tool of Esav is the power of speech of the sword.
So
when Bilam HaRasha used his mouth to curse Am Yisrael, he used the professional tool of whom?
God.
Of Am Yisrael. They got it from God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now he is being killed with his own tool. Says, God tells him, you use the tool of Am Yisrael to curse them, they will use your tool to kill you. You have to understand, the Torah is not just telling us. The Torah is telling us a very important point. When we talk, we have to be very careful the way we talk. Because we have such tremendous power in the words that we take out of our mouth. You remember I told you about the guy in Petah Tikva that when they were building Petah Tikva and they were talking about building a graveyard like in every place, he was joking and telling, I'm prepared to be the first one to be buried here in the best clothes. Yes. And he
was
buried there. He was the first one to be buried there. It was, I think, 10 days before Yom Kippur, and on Erev Yom Kippur he was buried there. He was the first one to be buried in Bet Kvarot Skula in Petah Tikva. Until today, you can go at the old part and see on one of the stones their story is written. I took a picture once, and I even showed you a few years ago, but I can show it to you again if I find it here. Here, unbelievable. You see the stone? It's very hard, it's Hebrew written, but on the stone, if you try and read, you will find on the stone written, he was buried, a young man who said that he is willing to be the first one to be buried in this Bet Kvarot, and he was the first one.
God granted his wish.
That is the power we have in our mouth. In other words, when we talk, there is a power that comes out from the words. So we have to be careful the way we use our mouth. Shomer pivul shono, shomer mitzarot nafsho. The one who keeps aware of what comes out of his mouth and tongue keeps his soul. Keeps out of tzuras, of problems. And there are a lot of, you see, sometimes we talk, and what we talk happens. Did it happen to you? It happens all the time. So?
Lincoln said this many times, I don't know, I'm sure you heard this phrase. Lincoln said that I'm better off keeping quiet and have people think I'm stupid than opening my mouth and remove all doubts.
Yeah. They say our sages say, "Gam evil macharish lechacham yechashev." A stupid guy, when he doesn't talk, he will be considered as a wise guy.
Yeah.
In other words, sometimes it's better off don't open your mouth.
Silence is golden.
Exactly. Yeah, you see, it's very interesting. In the Dvar Torah of this week, I'm writing about it. You know, we're talking about the power of speech.
And the power of speech this week with all the speakers.
You can see it every day, everywhere, but I'm talking about something else. Sometimes you think that you have, as we say, maybe the best way is to be silent. So I was going with my wife yesterday, we came back from Etzeliya, I think, and it was a big traffic jam, and it was getting very late, and I've got something in my, I have to pray in a minyan, mincha and maru. I have to. Wherever I am, I'm looking for a minion. And my wife doesn't like me always looking for a minion. And also here, she wanted to get home. Didn't want me to start looking at a minion. And it really got me aggravated that my wife doesn't understand how important it is to me to pray in a minion. And I was getting very angry. We're looking for a minion, whatever, and we had a row. What is a row? Well, if we were because I didn't want
a difference of opinions.
Yes, a difference of opinions, and because I didn't want to make it worse, I just shut my mouth. But then I realized that it doesn't make it good. It doesn't make it better. It makes it worse.
Yeah.
John was talking, and I wasn't answering. So she got aggravated, and I was all
come
inside,
boiling,
and I said, "You don't answer, because if you answer," and then I realized something unbelievable. The Ramban, in his famous letter to his son, says, "Shekol varecha, all the things you speak should be benachat, you softly, and when you talk softly, you don't get angry." Now think about it. You know, it's very interesting to read about it, even if you read it every week. But the more important thing is when you actually realize that you can change everything the way you talk. You can say the same words softly, and you can say the same words loudly, or let's say in an aggressive way, and we all know the results. And here I thought to myself, 1 minute, in this case, I have to talk. Because if I don't talk, I'm not doing peace. And really, what is more important, the end of the day? To daven mincha in a minyan, or to have shalom bayit?
Shalom bayit.
My husband doesn't think the same, but...
It's not what he thinks. We all think that, believe me, he does think shalom bayit is more important. But when it gets to the point, we want what we want. And we forget that we have another person with us. That's what the parasha is telling us in the beginning. Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Israel. Sorry. וידבר משה אל ראשי מטות לבני ישראל לאמור. זה הדבר אשר ציווה השם, איש כי ידו נדר להשם. We're talking about, Moshe is telling the leaders of Am Israel to tell a commandment that God gave regarding if you promise something, a nedar you do, that you have to keep it. In other words, לא יחל דברו, ככל היוצא מפיו יעשה. You shall not break your word. Whatever you said and promised, you have to keep. But then, the parsha is telling us about a way to cancel the neder. A daughter, a wife that wants makes a neder, and the husband can, and the father, a certain ways. But that's not what I want to talk about. Because from this parsha we learn that there are ways to cancel my promise. And here we get now, if the power of speech is so important, why is it so easy to do atarat nedarim? You know what atarat nedarim is? You make a neder, you go to a rabbi, or you go to three people, and you tell them, I want to cancel my neder, and they ask you, what is your reason? If I would have thought that it will get to this point, I wouldn't make the neder. And they says, okay, no neder. We do it on Rosh Hashanah. We do it on the beginning of Yom Kippur. Kol Nidre, what is Kol Nidre? Yeah.
All the nedarim.
All the nedarim and all the promises I did.
But I thought that so, when we say is not that I am promising that.
Yes, that's why you have to say Blineder. Exactly, that's why you say Blineder. You have to know, if you do something three times without saying Blineder, it is a neder. You have to go on keeping it. If you do a good thing three times without saying Blineder, there is an opinion that said that from now on you have to keep it unless you do Atarat Nedarim.
So does that hold for Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv?
It holds for everything. Every good thing you do three times.
One person davens all three of those, then
it's got to
he's got it.
Yeah, but you see, that's one of the important things here is to know. And that's, by the way, the idea of all the Nedarim, that why can a husband cancel the Nedar of his wife? Because his wife, for example,
Maybe because the neder then is putting him in a position that he can't keep.
Not only this. Let's say his wife decides, I'm not going to put makeup on myself anymore. And the husband wants his life to look nice. In other words, it disturbs him.
Yeah.
Or the wife can decide a lot of things that are going to disturb the relationship between the couple. In this case, the husband can say, no, I don't agree with it.
Does it work the other way?
You know, it's a very interesting question, but because we're looking at the man, that he is the one who goes out and brings the parnosa, he comes home, his wife is waiting with him with all those nedarim she did. In other words, I'm not going to cook, I'm going to say Tehillim the whole day, I'm going to do this, because the man is the one who is really in the action the whole day. And again, I must say another point. when we look at men and women in the Bible, we have to understand a very important point. Though we are talking about powers. We're not always talking about really a man and a woman. We're talking more about the power of a man or power of a male or the power of a female. Because there are differences. Of course, a woman has got more of the feminine part than a man. And a man's got more of the male part than the woman. But we all know men that behave like women.
And we know men behave like men.
Exactly. And we have women that behave like men. So in other words, by them, the part of the male is more stronger than the power of the female. I heard a very interesting lecture of a rabbi, and you know, it was a very pluralist rabbi, and he was talking about a very interesting point. He says, the way that women want to be like men, and men want to be like women, because by the way, it works both ways. People don't realize it, but we see it. Unfortunately, it works both in all fields. Now, he says, what happened is, if you look at what's happening in the society, we'll find a very interesting thing. Because when you try to, let's say, to cancel what nature gave you, what God gave you, it has to pop out from us another way. In other words, when you close, let's say, a one way, so what's inside tries to get out from
the other side.
For the other side. He says, look at women, how they expose themselves today, which they didn't do, let's years ago. In other words, women still put makeup. Women still go, sometimes, unfortunately, half naked in the streets to show that they are men or women, that they are women. That's the facts. And men, the same thing. If they try to be like women, so they will, you will see the effect in a different aspect. In other words, when he was trying to check what's happening, he found out a very important point. What's the name of this famous book? Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And we all know that that's the truth. At the end of the day, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. Now, it doesn't say that a woman cannot do what a man does, or a man cannot do what a woman does.
Even the Torah recognizes this.
The Torah, of course, recognizes it.
Yeah, because many times, especially on Shabbat, women could wear certain jewelry, certain cosmetics.
Of course,
everything.
Of course.
But a man can't.
Of course.
Even if
that's exactly the point. But you see, some people think that the Torah is racist. Like men are the most important thing and women are not, or they are less. And it's so not true. It's just to understand and realize that there is, let's say, a way that God created everything. And by the way, it's the same way. Why am I a female and this one is a male? It's very important. Let's say, you can also ask, why is this guy clever and the other one is stupid? Because God did it this way. So a man is a man. This one is a genius. The other one is not a genius. This one's got the power of speech. The other one's got the power of hands, as we say. And that's exactly the point. Everybody's got his own powers, and he has to use them to fulfill his task in life.
I just wanted to just say something about the power of speech. When one of the ghettos just were cleared, reported that the place is full of luggage, all jumbled up luggage, and there was a young man who didn't want to be deported, so he walked away, and he was there with all that messy luggage. So, how did he save his life? He said, I've been specially appointed to tidy up this place. And then they left. I saw that in the film of Schindler's
List. Yes, that's the power of speech. So when we talk about powers and we understand and realize that women and men are different, but for me are certain things important, and sometimes for my wife it's not so important. But the idea is not to fight with each other. The idea is to combine the forces we have to a double force, to a superpower. So because if I think that I am right, and that's the way we all think, and I forget that I've got somebody with me, you cannot be a tzaddik on the account of your fellow man. And that's the point. In other words, I want to daven mincha now, but my wife wants to get home. And, okay, so what do you do?
Take your wife home.
Yes.
No, or...
Or my wife says, go and daven mincha.
You can stop the car and daven mincha on the way. If there is a...
You can do a lot of things. The point is...
No, you want a minya.
My first action was getting angry. And I really was getting angry. And of course my wife was getting angry because I'm getting angry. But then, as I remembered what the Ramban said, and you know, don't know how it's unbelievable, and we both realized that we are wrong. In other words, she realized, she knows how important it is for me to daven in a minyan, and I know how she doesn't really agree that in the middle of things, especially on after a day that we are tired and in a traffic jam, she wants to get home to rest. She's got no power to go now looking for a minyan. Eventually, we started to talk like nothing happened. So maybe I lost davening mincha in a minyan. I don't want mincha, but I make shalom bayit. So what is more important?
Shalom bayit.
You were happy.
Yes.
I agree.
Because 100%. at the end of the day, we could drag it and have, let's say, a big row and going on with it, like sometimes it happens in life. And that's what the Torah is telling us. You have a power. The power of speech can be used in so many ways. That's why it is so important. That's why when you promise something, you have to keep it. So I'm asking, if this is so important, why is it so easy to do Atarat Netarim? What do you think? Why have we got this option of canceling a neder if I did it?
Because if you don't give him that thing, what he's going to do will cause more harm than...
Let's say it in a different way.
Sometimes you make a neder without thinking.
Because that's exactly the point. Because it's so important, as we said. The power of speech is so important and it's got so much power that the Torah gave us the opportunity to get out of it. But here comes a very interesting point. The first pasuk is telling us, "Vayidaber Moshe el Rashei Amatot livnei Yisrael le'emor." Now you telling me now, who is Moshe Rabbeinu talking to?
The heads of the tribes.
And what's with Am Yisrael? Does he talk to them or not? Hmm? Very interesting. Or Achaim HaKadosh says that we have a very interesting point here. Because if there was a Vav here, Vaydaber Moshe el Rashei Amatot, and Moshe talked to the heads of the tribes, and Ve Bnei Israel, so it was to both of them. But that's not what's written.
I just wanted to say something about
yes.
peace. In Shach, at when you say the prayers in the morning, you say, "Elu dvarim she'en lahem shiur ha'per v'aplikaron
v'arayon gmilut chasadim
v'ha'avat shalom ben adam l'chaveru."
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Looking for peace is the most important thing. But that's exactly the point here. When we have so much power, so we have to be very careful. So because words have so much power, the Torah gave us the opportunity, you said something and you cannot keep it, or it's disturbing somebody else, there is an option. But because the Torah didn't want us to get very free. No, okay, I promise, so what? I go and do a Torah Nedarim. So every day we do promises in the morning. In the afternoon we go to ask for three men to stand, do a Torah Nedarim. So, it's nothing. What's the problem? I can promise from daily. But as the Torah says, one name. We are going to tell this thing only to the head of the tribes. And they will tell the people, Lo yachel dvaro. If you promise something, you have to keep it. That's what the Torah is telling us. And all the other story is when something happens and you cannot keep it, then you go and ask, what should I do? And then they tell you the option. And I will want to end the shiur with another thing. Why is he talking to the heads? Because who is the one who that is promising and then doesn't keep? You have now the election in the States. They're all promising, big promises. And we all know, and we all know that after the election, that's why the Torah is telling, first of all, you talk to the heads. Why? Because they want to be elected and they promise things that they cannot keep, or they promise things that they don't even think to keep. So the Torah is warning them, be aware. The power of speech is unbelievable. And if you use words, they have power. So be very careful. That's why the Torah is telling us, first of all, you tell to the heads to be careful in what they say. So we learned today that words have so much power that we have to be very careful how we use them.
Because you have con men.
Yeah, of course.
Purposely, because they know how to use them with this power.
And because our power, as we said, our professional tool is what? The power of speech. Why? Because we get power to use in through the learning of the Torah, talking about the Torah. That's why we have so much power. Akol kol Yaakov. We pray to God. God comes, listens to us. So we have, like, this is even a holy tool. Because why did God give us the power of speech? To use it for what? To worship Him. Avodat Hashem. Not to curse. Not to talk nasty. Sometimes you stand and you hear people talking and swearing and thing, and it's abusing the power of speech. So the Torah tells us, Lo yachel dvaro. You know what Lo yachel dvaro is? It can be keep what you promise, but Lo yachel, yachel is like chulin. You know, you have Shabbat when you have Yom Chol. Chulin is like taking down. Shabbos is taking up.
Elevating.
So elevating and going down. So the Torah is telling us, keep your words elevating you and not lowering you. Lo yachel dvaro. Use the power of speech. Be careful how you talk. Don't swear. Talk nicely. And as we learned, if you talk softly, you even can change the whole mood. And even if you're angry and you talk softly, it calms you down.
That's why they say when you're angry, count to 10 and just don't say a word. And then maybe you can start.
So our learning for today is, be aware the way you speak, what you speak, when you speak, and also if by accident you said something, you promised something you cannot keep, there is a way. Why is this way? Because it's so important to keep your word that God gave you the opportunity. If you said something that you cannot keep, you have the opportunity to go back.
Yeah.
But the next time, be aware, because God loves those who keep their words.
I'm not wanted to